sources of protein and fat and calcium. And so they were an important part of our Paleolithic diet. So I suspect that our evolutionary ancestors were not quite as repulsed. But then again, they didn't have to confront the close-up picture above a bed bug.
Yeah, there is that. Well, finally, Tom, there is a proposal, as you know, for wiping out the mosquito using genetic engineering technology. Let's say we could do that. That we could rid ourselves of an annoying insect, but also control the spread of some pretty awful viruses. Zika, dengue fever, malaria, and so forth. Considering the role that microbes have played in human evolution, what might be the downside to ridding ourselves for good of one of these dangerous pests?
Well, there's no question that those vector-borne, mosquito-borne diseases that you list are tremendous sources of suffering and mortality all around the world. So I think there's a strong case to be made for targeting that vector in particular. But we have to be wary of unforeseen consequences, particularly if we muck around in the genetic machinery and code that these species pass on to future generations and then perhaps may pass on to related species. So we have to be wary of the unforeseen consequences there. We don't want to generate a superbug, for example, that then would be resistant to future eradication efforts.
Tom McDade, thanks so very much for allowing me to kind of bug you today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Tom McDade is a biological anthropologist at Northwestern University.
Well, we've learned a lot of things in this show about these small little critters that, aren't all that appealing. But I figure that dates back to the invention of the microscope when we could finally, develop the germ theory. And small things suddenly became dangerous in our mind. And that includes these small insects. But you know what? You can try and separate yourself from the yuck and the muck, but these guys are part of our history. And we're learning that both at the macroscopic level and even at the DNA level, the genetic level.
And then we have to make tough choices about which microbes to be friends with and which ones maybe to try to scrub out of our lives.
Yeah, and it's kind of tough because how do I tell the good guys from the bad guys? They don't wear hats.
Thanks to the larger-than-life talent that is always with us and helps us produce this show, Gary Niederhoff, Barbara Vance, and our intern, Aaron Ross.
Also, thanks to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David, Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to With All Our Mites. And if you crave more Big Picture Science, if you're itching for more, you'll find it in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
If you're a podcast listener, but you prefer listening to over-the-air radio, because after all, your face mites can't hear the show if you're listening with earbuds, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like the show.
And if you listen via iTunes, we invite you to leave a review of the show. And if you have other comments, criticisms, or suggestions, well, throw in some faint praise and email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org. Who has more gunk on their face, Seth or me?
It looks like you both have similar amounts of gunk, but I'm hoping that Seth has got a lot more mites. I just have a feeling about
is this some comment on my lifestyle?
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded program do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And this month, my special guest is Lynn, and she is a licensed massage therapist. Good afternoon, Lynn. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. I am well. And you?
Okay. I'm very good. Also, Lynn has a few different roles here at the radio station, so let's cover that right now. In addition to being a guest on this show today, what else do you do at the station?
Well, I'm host of No Boys Allowed, heard every Saturday from noon until 2, bringing you the best of female artists from all different genres.
Mm-hmm. And what else? Don't you have another talk show here?
I do. On the second Tuesday of the month, I am the host of Impact, which is a show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community.
Mm-hmm. And Lynn was kind enough to be a guest on today's show because she is a massage therapist. So, getting started now, what made you decide to become a therapist?
I've always been interested in different ways where I can help people. And that might sound corny, but that's what it's all about. I enrolled in a school called Irene's Myomassology Institute, and that was founded by Irene Gauthier. And she lost a son, very young age, I believe he was 17, and she wanted to find out why he died. And there were a number of things that she learned, and massage was one of the areas that she explored thoroughly. And there are many aspects of myomassology. Myo, M-Y-O, is the prefix for muscle. It means muscle. So muscle massology, muscle techniques, muscle manipulation is what we're talking about. And one of her favorite expressions was that it's not just about rub, rub, rub. When people think about getting a massage, it's like, okay, somebody's going to push on my arms and my legs and my back, and I'm going to walk out and I'm going to feel great. There's a lot more to it than that. So we explore different types of I guess you'd call it we use the term genre here, but it's modality in the massage world. Modalities including things like hot rocks, where you actually have stones from the ground that are heated in hot water, and they come out and you have a layer or two of towel on the skin, and then the hot rock goes in there and it's covered with a towel. That's a massage technique. There is some manipulation involved, but at some point you just have the rocks on the back or arms or legs of the individual. Western medicine tells you from the time you're no longer a baby, your head basically heals. All those pieces of skull fuse and become one large bone. And through massage, I learned that that's not necessarily true. You have what you refer to as sutures, and you can actually manipulate and move those places where the planes come together. And where those plates come together, you can actually do some massage work in there, and that will help people with all kinds of situations, probably most notably headaches. That's one way to help with a headache. There are spa treatments, which is another thing that people often think about when they hear the word massage. And a spa treatment might mean that you have seaweed over your entire body and you're wrapped in plastic, and that does wonderful things for your skin and it relaxes you. And it's kind of interesting. Kind of connecting back to what I said at the beginning, I did take a spa class. And it was very interesting. I learned a lot, and it's not kind of where I want to go. I'm not interested in making wealthy people happy as much as I am working with cancer patients and elderly, and maybe there are people who are so ill, if you will, that they can't move, and just doing a hand massage and a foot massage makes them feel 100% better, and that's the kind of thing I'm interested in. But complementary to the rocks, I know we're kind of skipping around, but you can also use cold marble, and that too is primarily done on the face. It tightens the skin, and again, that is something that may be helpful in the case of a headache. In the case of figuring out what you're going to do, there are some resistance moves where you might tell me your shoulder hurts and I might hold your arm a certain way and tell you to press against my hand. And when I do that, I'm actually engaging all these muscles here in a certain way so that we can put pressure where you have the pain and relax those muscles, and you'll feel better when the session is done. So it's a healing type of aspect. Energy work, one of my absolute favorites. Energy and reflexology. Energy work is when you take, there are two ends to a muscle and a middle to a muscle. Okay, and when you take those two ends and balance them, you can feel it. Some people can't feel it. I can feel it. You can feel that the energy is moving back and forth, and there's a point where you start out and things are sort of choppy, for lack of a better term, and things get smooth, and you know that's when it's balanced. When I was a student, we spent an entire day on the energy balancing work. And I will tell you up front that massage is hard work. It's hard physical work. And when we finished, we got into the class and thought, oh, this is going to be a real easy night because it's just energy. And my partner and I were probably more tired than we were when we were working big muscles. So.
Mm-hmm. So it can be therapeutic on many different levels?
Oh, absolutely.
Can it be internal and external?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the ways? I know you went over a few external ways, but how does it help you internally?
Both mentally and physically, actually, because some of the energy work I was alluding to, especially when you're doing some of the work on the face and some of that suture work I was talking about on the skull, that is a way of, I have an example. Is someone told me that he had a headache for 3 weeks and was miserable. It was one of those situations where you feel like you can't walk, you feel like you're just, your entire body is just not, you're just not functioning correctly.
Was this a migraine headache or not necessarily?
I don't know if we diagnosed it as a migraine per se. It was just a headache, and there were different parts of the head that were involved. I found tight muscles in the sternocleidomastoid, which is the one kind of from your ear to your shoulder, okay, that muscle.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Anyone? Well, you know that one. Everybody knows that one because when you are undergoing stress, if you're under stress, it gets very tight. When you're working on a computer all day, it gets very tight. So it's one of the first ones that you want to work on when you're looking at the possibility. There are a lot of muscles in the neck. And I know this is radio, and they can't see me pointing to the muscles in my neck, but there is a whole lot of muscles right up here, and they do a lot of things. And when these are relaxed and soft and the blood is flowing beautifully, you won't have a stiff neck. You won't have a headache. So for this particular individual, I did a lot of work on those sutures that we talked about in the skull, did a lot of work in the neck, especially right here on the sides. Little bit in the shoulders, not as much as you might think. And as I was getting close to finished, he said, I don't know what you're doing, but my head feels so much lighter. So you know what it feels like when you have a headache and you can't just, you don't want to turn your head, you don't want to move, it hurts to blink your eyes. And that was taken away through massage.
Mm-hmm. How has this person done since then?
It was a month. Without a headache, last mm-hmm. I knew. So mm-hmm. it worked.
mm-hmm. So in other words, different parts of the body can affect other parts. I mean, you would think a headache would be something to do with maybe massage, like you're talking about on the top of the head or the forehead, but it can be a little bit lower in the neck, mm-hmm. could be possibly in the back, anything mm-hmm. like that?
Yes, yes. In fact, one of the instructors at Irene's specializes in sports massage, and if you go in and you tell him that there's something wrong with your wrist or something wrong with your hand, he's going to start right at the neck. He's going to start at the neck and the spine and work those muscles to see what's tight. And very well may be that he never gets anywhere near your fingers.
Mm-hmm. Just because he knows that it's somewhere in the back that's causing the problem?
Yeah, you could have tightness here.
Again, okay,
this is not good for radio.
That, yeah.
You could have tightness. When you sort of follow, your chicken wing bones, okay? When you follow those bones, that's a whole lot of constriction that can happen in there. And it could be that you're tight in the front. It could be that you're tight in the back, but in that area. So if you massage that area because you find something that's constricted, you find that there's something you can soften, a knot, if you will, that you can undo, and you may suddenly feel the blood flow going down your arm into your hands, and all of a sudden, nowhere near your hands was pressure, but it was stuff that was happening up here.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Very briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Lynn. She's a licensed massage therapist, and we're talking about massage and therapy and how it helps people. Now, also, when you were taking classes, mm-hmm. how did you get started? I mean, obviously, they just don't say, well, here's a body, start working on it. What were the first few steps in learning how to be a massage therapist?
Actually, you're wrong.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They just said, there's a body, go work on it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
The very first day of class, I think we all have a more, I don't know if modest is quite the right word, but more of an uptight view of the human body. And in one of my, well, the very first day that we got there, I thought, well, we'll talk. You know, we're not going to do anything. And we were sent to the restrooms to come out with nothing but a sheet around us and underwear and hit the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened that very first day. So mm-hmm. you lose a lot of your inhibitions insofar as early on we had, the whole room on the tables and everyone was face down, which is called prone. Okay. So the sheets were pulled down to our waists and the rest of the class, the other half of the class, walked around all those tables. And the instructor said, look at all those beautiful backs. And you had fat people and skinny people and old people and young people and black people and white people. And each back was its own work of art. It was its own.
Okay.
Was everything, what is perfect? You know, the whole Barbie doll thing that we go through in this country with this is how you should look is not true, and it's not practical. So you're looking at all these different backs. There were people who had surgery, so they had scars from surgery. There was somebody who was cut with a knife. I remember this particular class very, very well. And you just had all this life that shows on the back.
Mm-hmm. Now, people had no problem doing this, or were there a few people that held out? I mean, eventually everybody went ahead and disrobed and did what they were supposed to do?
To use that trite term, I guess, it is what it is. It is what it is. It's part of the class. And you learn. I always said I didn't realize how defective I was until I went there and found out that I'm walking wrong and, you know, this is uneven and I'm thinking that I'm in relatively, you know, strong arms and relatively good condition because I do things. I hang my laundry. I do my own gardening. I do my own yard work. I do all that. I paint. I do all that stuff myself. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm really, you know, getting into it, and I'm using those back muscles and those arm muscles and what have you, and only to find out that my pecs, my front, is very, very hard and constricted because my back is overstretched. Okay, my back muscles are overextended, and these have all tightened up in the front because of all these wonderful things I'm doing, like hanging my laundry and gardening.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're a little muscle bound, is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah, that's actually a good term for it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you have a situation like that, you work a lot. You don't work on these, which is where you think you're going to feel so good.
Yeah,
you know,
these you're pointing to
my
back.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get that.
So you're down on the table and you want somebody to just press real hard on the back, you know, and just work those muscles and make everything just feel great. That's not where you start. You start here where things are constricted and hard.
Mm-hmm.
And once this is loosened, then you can start making some improvements elsewhere.
Right. So you go the opposite direction, in essence, correct?
Yes, and that is something that we all had to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does anybody, I guess, walk on your back? I mean, was that part of the class or not necessarily?
That's an Eastern modality, and I learned a few, but not that one. I have looked in some of my magazines and things. You can get some pretty interesting contraptions for that so you don't fall off.
Really?
So you can kind of hang from the, you know, you're holding onto these things that hang from the ceiling while you're on the table and I'm walking all over your back. We can try that if you
yeah,
like.
Right. No, I'll pass for right now. I'll take your word for it. It sounds very interesting. I didn't know there were contraptions that could be used, and I guess it's all good, right?
Well, it's all about seriously, it's about keeping your balance. Mm-hmm. And so the worst thing that could happen is I'm working on some tight spot on your back and all of a sudden I lose my balance, and that would be horrible. So you have these things that kind of help you maintain your balance.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a person, you're working on a person, how do you prefer them to be? I mean, do they have clothes on or are they just covered with a sheet? What do you prefer?
My background from way back is in investments, and we always told people to invest pursuant to your level of comfort. And I would use that same answer now, your level of comfort. If you're comfortable with having your shirt off, but you want long pants on your body, that's fine. I can make whatever it is work. If you're comfortable being totally naked, we can work that. It's called draping, okay?
Right.
And the way you drape the sheet, nothing that shouldn't be exposed is ever exposed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about one of the parts of the program I went through was to work in a clinic, and I always said, well, it's like barber college, and you have students who are working on you, and I had because it's a school. Michigan law states that you must have the underwear, okay? So you have to have panties on, whether you're male or female. And this guy came in from California, and he said, well, I've had lots of massages. I don't mind. And I said, no, you don't understand. So he was very willing to go down to birthday mm-hmm. wear, and I said, no, because this is a school, and explained it, and he was fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. It just depends on their comfort level, right?
Sure.
But is it better the less clothes they wear? Is that more effective for that person?
Depends on the modality. Some of the Eastern modalities work just as well, if not better, with clothes. And some of the Thai massage, for example, you actually are clothed, and it works fine. A lot of that is also done on the floor. Most Eastern should be done on the floor. Okay, so when you talk about draping the sheet properly and keeping all the correct parts covered, then when you have a table, that's a little easier to do. When you're on the floor, it's probably better if you are clothed. There are certain muscles that are sometimes will ask to move the top of the panty down a little bit so that we can actually get into some of the glute area. Glutes are... it's an amazing muscle group. People tend to make fun of them. Oh, yeah, I mean, your rear end or what have you. The glutes control so much. It controls how you sit, how you walk, really how you feel, part of your back. So to be able to get in there, and there's a technique called compression where basically you're working with closed fists and just really pushing in. You're not punching. You're pushing in. Your hand comes to the skin, and then you push in to try to impact a difference, to try to make a difference. And sometimes it's easier to do that on bare skin. I like to do it over the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you are, if there's skin against the sheet or if there's underwear against the sheet, it doesn't particularly matter. I like to go over the top of the sheet because then I don't worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to really get in there and do some good deep compressions.
Mm-hmm.
Compressions are wonderful.
What about the chair, though, a massage chair? I mean, usually people are clothed mm-hmm. in that situation.
Yes.
Because generally speaking, aren't they just usually very quick? They're not really too long at all?
It depends. I have a chair, and I've been on a chair before, and the chair generally, what you see a chair use a lot in... one of the teachers at Irene's works with a local business, and the staff on Fridays gets to go in for a 5-minute massage. It's part of their break, and it makes everybody feel better. The employers are happy because the employees are happy, and the employees are happy because they just got a great massage. You tend to think of chair as kind of pretty much down to the waist, I guess you'd say, you know, the head, the neck, the back. You'd be surprised. The chair is absolutely versatile for anything you can do on the table, you can do on the chair. So you actually can have the person turn around and lean backwards, and you're able to work on some of those front muscles. if they are leaning forward this way, you can work on the back, you can work on the neck, the head, arms, legs. It's all there. And like I said, anything you can do on the table, you can do on the chair.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it more taxing working with people in a chair or lying down? I mean, what's harder physically for you?
Oh, gosh. If your table is properly adjusted and your chair is properly adjusted, really doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm. You should be able to work on that person mm-hmm. without getting any pain. Does that ever happen to you where you start to really tighten up when you're trying to give a massage, you're trying to really get into it, and you do it so much that you are being affected?
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. It's hard work. It really is hard work. You shouldn't plan to do, 12 or 13 hours of massage per day for 5 days in a row. Your hands are going to be gone. There's a way that you position your table, which means that it's at the correct height. And if I did different types of therapy on you, for example, we could start out with the table at one height. And then if we're changing into a different type of program, if you will, I might want that table lower or I might want it higher. And when you're doing energy work, for example, your table's at a different height than when you're doing massage. When you're doing really deep tissue, you might want your table in a different height mm-hmm. from other. And the way you hold your legs, the way you stand, the way you position yourself, that is... when you do everything correctly, you're going to have a whole lot less damage to your own body.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a local restaurant that had a person and the counter, she was working the counter, and the counter was absolutely the wrong height for her. And she was young and healthy and thin, and everything was right, but her back was constantly hurting. And I said, try this, stand this way. And I gave her one of the positions that we use as massage therapists, and she couldn't believe it. It made all the difference in the world. Her back didn't hurt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, nobody can see your legs. Nobody knows what you're doing back there. And she was just standing a certain way. But she was able to take the orders, writing, leaning, and she didn't have any problem. But her leaning over the counter to write is similar to what a massage therapist does when leaning over a person to do the massage work.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Lynn. She's a licensed massage therapist. Now, when you do this kind of thing, I mean, do people really appreciate it? I mean, is it something that's like immediate that you can tell has really made an impact on their life?
Yes, and yes. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you'll feel something immediately. I am notorious for getting these, we'll call them knots, okay, in my shoulder area. And I will be in such pain that it's hard for me to turn my head. It's hard for me to do anything. And generally, it's more stress-related than anything else. And there is a technique called pressure point therapy. And when you push in to that hard area and you feel it release, that person is going to feel much better. It might be down here on the upper back, and all of a sudden your neck is moving easier. You had some tightness in your face, you felt it, and that could go away also.
Mm-hmm. What is your schedule when you do a massage therapy on a person? I mean, do you do it for an hour and then you take a couple hours off? I mean, how does that work?
That just depends on the schedule. And it depends on the person, because someone might only want the 5-minute chair, which is about the least amount you could do. And the most I've done is a 2-hour. And the first time I was at school, and they said that this particular person is coming in for a 2-hour. And I just sort of shrieked silently and thought, what the heck am I going to do for 2 hours? And let me tell you, it's the best massage that you can give. It's the best massage you can receive. Because all the things that you do as you go throughout the entire body, you get to do for a longer period of time. And that means that it's more thorough. places where sometimes you would like more time that you don't have time in a standard one-hour massage, hands and feet, and especially hand massage. Of course, I'm using my hands a lot, but anybody who's, you're talking about plumbers, you're talking about anybody who's out in the cold, anybody who's using their hands for pretty much anything, and that's all of us, can benefit from a hand massage. I have paraffin that I like to use with a hand massage, and that's pretty much strictly a hand massage by itself. If I'm working the entire body, I just get to spend more time with each little joint, and it's just it just feels good. I took a class, and the instructor said that there are two ways people fall asleep, and people do fall asleep on the table, and that's perfectly fine. You're not maybe feeling every stroke, every pressure, every push, but on the other hand, you got relaxed enough to the point where you know where you dozed off. When I was in class, we had one gentleman who I think there was like negative time, like minus nanosecond, and he was snoring like you wouldn't believe every single time he hit the table. But anyway, this class was talking about hand massage and women. And the way to make a woman fall asleep really fast on the table and hard and fast on the table is hand massage. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, my partner couldn't get me to come awake, and then the instructor came over and kept saying, Len, come back.
You were comatose, were you?
I pretty much was. And then he said, now men, it's legs. So when you're working, when you're doing a lot of work on men's legs, they tend to nod off, and they're in a deep sleep.
Now, don't the hands and feet have corresponding connections to different organs in the body? That's reflexology, correct?
Reflexology, yes. There's reflexology that refers to the feet, to the hands, and to the ears. And the, let me get my chart here. You're talking about really all of your major organs. And if you take a look at putting, if someone is on the back and the 2 feet are together like so, okay, you can actually follow, I'll show this to you even though the radio people can't see that, but you can see how putting the 2 feet together looks like a human body in effect.
Right. Well, it has, this diagram is broken down to show the different organs and also even some of the different areas of the body that will be affected. You know, and the thing is, how can you really know that things are affected by massaging certain areas of the feet?
Well, probably the best story for that one is one of the instructors had a woman, she works with a chiropractor, and she does a lot of therapeutic massage, people who are coming to the chiropractor after a car accident or surgery or, you know, something where they're looking for help in that regard, and then the massage helps further, because the massage is helping with scars, massage helps with blood flow, so that helps with the healing process. She had a woman who was constipated, and she did the colon work on the feet, okay? And she freed that path, and the woman got up and excused herself, came back, and said she hadn't felt that well in 2 weeks, and I think that's all I have to say.
Right, so you know, I mean, the body is going to recognize that,
yes.
And a person is going to realize that that has been affected, that organ or whatever, that area of their body.
And that was strictly by manipulating the feet. You could do the same thing if the person is supine or on his or her back and you're working the abdominal area. You would follow basically the same path that you follow on the feet.
Again, getting back to opposites, I mean, would you, in order to work on a certain part of the body, a certain organ, a certain gland or whatever, would you begin working with the hands or the feet instead of going to that area where it is in the body?
It really depends on the situation. Another sheet that I brought in that no one can see is, it's called an intake form. And what you do, industry standard calls it SOAP notes, and each letter stands for something. And the first one is subjective, where you come in and you tell me things, and then I write them down. And then the next time you come back, we see if we've done some good things to whatever the area is. You know, you hurt your lower back because you lifted a tree, okay, or moved a big tree branch. And when you hurt your back, you didn't even maybe realize it until a couple days later because you just did something differently from your normal routine. Mm-hmm. So in a case like that, we talk about it, and then throughout the course of like a weekly or monthly massage protocol, we would be able to find that we see some progress being made, where you're not having pains going down your legs anymore, where it's easier for you to bend over than it was before. Just in general, you feel better because your back hurts less. And that's massage is, and I've heard this comment more about chiropractic, but a lot of people will say, well, you go and then you have to go back. Well, yeah.
Right.
Because nothing is a fix. Massage therapy will help you, and over the course of a number of weeks or months, you're going to see progress. But is one massage trip going to fix everything that's wrong with you? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And if any massage therapist would tell you that, keep walking.
Mm-hmm. Now, do people come to you with certain problems that they come to you specifically for? They'll say, well, I've really got this, again, the gentleman you worked with that had the pain in the head. Now, would they make it known to you that this is where the problem is on my body? Say if somebody threw their back out, how would you approach that? Something like that.
Everything depends on the individual, and every single case is different. There are times when someone might have a certain complaint that tells you that you are not going to work on that individual, or you are not going to work on that area, that person should see a physician. Mm-hmm. A massage therapist is not to diagnose. That's not within our practice.
Mm-hmm. But still, if you see something, you will suggest that perhaps a person seek medical treatment or medical attention?
Definitely, yeah. If it's so warranted. Someone has a cast on the leg. Okay, well, you're not going to beat up that leg, and you're not going to have it moving all over the room to see how it moves. You're not going to do that kind of thing. You might do a little energy work on that leg to try to get things to balance. You might do very simple. There's sort of a hands-on that's related to energy, where such as at the knees, you might have a hand on each knee. And because there's too many things that can go wrong with the knees if you start pushing things the wrong way.
Yes, I know that, yes, but go ahead.
So you never want to be too aggressive in certain areas. The axillary area, the armpit area, you don't want to get too aggressive there. You don't want to get too aggressive at the knee area. I can work your traps pretty well without doing any damage. That would be the back.
That's the upper back, though.
The
right?
upper the back. Traps. Well, mm-hmm. actually, it looks like a big T. If you look at the muscle chart, it actually goes down probably lower than you think. But the main part of it, and it is a large muscle, is kind of think of shoulder to shoulder mm-hmm. in that area.
Do you start off working the larger muscle groups usually, and then go on to the smaller muscle groups, or does it just depend?
Depends. Depends on the session. Depends on the session duration. Depends on the client's health. Somebody who is 90 with a history of heart issues, I'm not going to push really hard on that back. You have to be cognizant of what's going on with the rest of the body, the whole body.
Mm-hmm. Do you ask people if they have any health problems
Absolutely.
That you should be aware of?
Absolutely. That's what the intake form is all about, to find out. I don't know if I could do a percentage, but the majority of people who go to a massage therapist just want to lay down, have somebody work their sore muscles and make them feel better and help them relax, and that's it.
That's right. Everything's beautiful at that point.
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And I'm talking to Lynn. She's my special guest this month. She's a licensed massage therapist. Have you ever worked with somebody that is terminally ill, and does that help a person, somebody with cancer, or perhaps they have muscular dystrophy, anything like that?
I have not personally. I know of someone who's had MS for the better part of 30 years. He's kind of in a decline right now, but about 10 years ago, it took him out of a wheelchair. It took him out of the chair and enabled him to walk again, and this was all from massage therapy. His mental faculties were sharper. His hands worked better. It was like a miracle. Mm-hmm. But of course, the disease marches on, and mm-hmm. your body can only recover so much. But it made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine it would help a person's outlook just knowing they feel better, at least for a short time. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. everything must help mm-hmm. if that makes them feel better.
Right. I have a friend who did some oncology work at, Beaumont. Mm-hmm. It was Oakwood at the time.
Well, what is oncology work?
Cancer work.
Okay.
Cancer work. Mm-hmm. And she would go in, and the people were just feeling miserable and didn't want to move and what have you. And that's when the hand massage, the foot massage, it just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
There is something also to be said for the human touch.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be done by the time this airs, but I have an upcoming class in elder massage specifically. And you've seen older people where the skin just looks like tissue paper. And there's a different way that skin is handled and touched as opposed to somebody who's 25 and a bodybuilder or what have you.
Right.
So I'll be learning that this weekend. I've been trying to get into this class for a long time, so I'm happy to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so it can be something simple as just working with a person's hands or feet that mm-hmm. would really make them feel better, mm-hmm. even though perhaps they really are terminally ill.
Think about the extremities, and oftentimes, what do people say, or how do they feel? Their hands are so cold, feet are so cold, right? And yet the rest of the body feels normal, right? But with these very cold hands and feet, you're talking about circulation. So even someone who is terminal, you can still improve the circulation in the hands, make them warm up a little bit, and it makes them feel better. And that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Well, something else I want to talk about. I know you're interested in working with animals mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you do this specifically, but I know you work with pets and dogs, primarily dogs, mm-hmm. but do you do other animals as well?
Well, I live with two cats, and cats are a little different from dogs, and I have one in particular who absolutely, it's like working on a human. I can't give him enough pressure. He just loves having everything worked on. And
he's spoiled, right?
No, he's not spoiled.
Okay.
No, he's healthy.
Oh, right.
And he will just basically collapse. He'll just sort of fall over. One time I was working on him and he was a little bit too close to the edge of the bed. He actually fell off the bed. That's embarrassing for a cat.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but they could end up hurting themselves and need more therapy. So that's not good. But what is it about animals that you felt the attraction to work with them?
A lot of people think that it's frivolous, and I can tell you from my hands and from my eyes that it is definitely not. I've worked on a number of older dogs. I was in a situation where I had 100 pounds of love in a long fur coat, and this was a full-grown sheepdog, and he was 15 years old. And very stiff, both the hips. You watch the hips a lot, the hips and then along the spine. Those, if you don't do anything else, if you don't check range of motion on the forepaws, whatever, you will find that those are the two areas that are going to make a major difference to the dog. So I worked on him for, oh my goodness, it was probably about half an hour, 45 minutes. And I talked to the owner a couple days later, and I said, so, you know, how did he do? And she said he just went home and collapsed. He slept so well. Because his hips, he had problems with his hips. There's a part of the body that they don't talk about in high school and college biology, maybe college, but not high school biology. And it's a substance called fascia. Fascia is basically what keeps us wrapped, keeps us from falling apart. Fascia is, if you think about the way citrus fruit looks, and you have all those little pieces in there, every one of those little teeny tiny cells are covered by like a saran wrap kind of thing, right? You put those all together and then they go into a section, and the section is kind of like a saran wrap thing, right? And then you put all the sections together and you have another layer, and then you have the skin. That's sort of the way we're constructed. So when I talk about the dogs and when I talk about the people, what you want to do is just try to pick up the skin away from the spine. And when it doesn't want to move, it's called being stuck. And when that is stuck, your fascia is stuck like that, things just don't move the way they should. I had said my back is not where it should be, and I have a lot of tightness in the pecs. I had one of the instructors kind of unveil me and shrieked, "Oh my God," which wasn't really what you want to hear when you're on the table.
Right,
and
not at all.
She had some ideas of how she was going to loosen my back because she knew how tight it was. And she said that what you're squeezing, if you will, is you're working in, like 2 inches. You're grabbing like 2 inches and putting it together as you work down the spine, okay, along the spine, right, on either side, right? And with me, she had to go about like 6 inches to be able to actually get it to lift. She had to go that far apart. Yes, I was really sore when we got done with that and felt really good. And the idea is that I have a tennis ball or that I work somehow that I can work something up and down my spine, some kind of roller, to try to keep that loose. There are also these bonker things that you can, it's like a tennis ball on a little tether, and there's a stick, and you can just like hit yourself in the back with these. And
really? So you just beat yourself up? Is that it?
Well, it's a good pain. It's a good
okay.
hurt.
All right. Okay.
Well, it's
sure.
A,
you know, whatever you say. You know, that's not this kind of show, but you know, that's okay. You know.
But think about what we've talked about. You know, you're talking about improving blood flow. That's the key to everything. So when you have these things and you're, you know, bonking your own back to loosen the fascia and to loosen the skin and what have you, you're improving your blood flow. That automatically is going to make things better. It's going to help with all kinds of things, internal things, like, you know, your blood pressure. If your blood is flowing really well, you're going to heal better. Your blood pressure will be more contained. Things will be where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. But working with pets, what was it that you really, I guess, felt the need to do that? I mean, I know you have a compassion for pets and animals, but what was it? Was there anything specifically that you felt?
Well, two things. I'm a critter person, and I love all creatures. And second of all, I found out I actually could make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to do, was to do something in my life that would help individuals, whether they walk on four legs or two, and whether they're canine or feline or what have you, it's a way of, when I see an old dog like that sheepdog, when he got done and he walked away and he just smiled when he walked away, mm-hmm. I knew he felt so much better.
Mm-hmm. So, have you worked on other animals other than cats and dogs?
Cats and dogs? No, I haven't. Okay. I have not.
So you don't go through the park chasing squirrels or something?
I do
trying
not,
to
no.
massage them? Okay, all right.
The one that is so logical, if you think about it, and there is a whole industry dedicated to equine massage. So horses need it, mm-hmm. big time, big time, mm-hmm. whether they're just in the racing world or if they're just personal pets, mm-hmm. they need a lot of help too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if they're workhorses or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they mm-hmm. get tired and mm-hmm. probably could use a massage.
Yeah, but know. I've had some great dog experiences, mm-hmm. if you would like to hear. Well, more, sure.
Give us a couple more. I know you have many.
I went to a book signing a couple weeks ago at a bar, and it's in just buried in the middle of a neighborhood. Been open since 1907, so it's, you know, community kind of place. And they had 200 pounds of love meet me at the door. And
okay, 200 pounds of love being what kind of dog?
This was an English Mastiff. Okay. And I said, oh, do you mean massive? Because he was a big guy. And he met me at the door. I saw all of his teeth, nice teeth, and he really wanted me dead. He really did. And so I sat down, and like I said, this was a book signing, so there was a presentation. And I called him over when I was sitting listening to the presentation. And that fascia stuff we were talking about at the spine, I just worked. And there were times when his head just sort of fell over his shoulder, and he was so relaxed, and he was so happy. And the people that knew him better than I said that they have never seen some of the expressions that he was making on his face as I was working some of these body parts. And he was wonderful. He let me work on his shoulders. I was in the axillary, you know, underarm area, and I could do whatever I wanted to do. And then he went missing after a while, and I said, well, where did he go? And they said, no, he passed out. So he was mm-hmm. in his big bed, and he was just, yeah, mm-hmm. life is good. Mm-hmm. But he, I don't know breeds necessarily, and I didn't realize that this is one of the drooling breeds. So the more relaxed he got, the happier he got, the more he drooled. It was like a faucet, so people kept clearing his face.
Right. Well, I've seen dogs like that, and they have like bandanas or towels wrapped around their neck to, mm-hmm. to catch that drool, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But so you made a new friend that day.
I made a best friend that day. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And you have not gone back since then.
No.
Right?
No.
Okay. Are you planning to someday? Or?
I'd like to go back and see him and see if he remembers me. And yeah, I do not live with dogs. I live with cats. And when I took the canine massage class, I had to borrow my nephew dog. And the relationship that
my nephew dog,
okay, yes. the relationship he has with my sister-in-law is absolutely remarkable, because he would take a bullet for her and she would take a bullet for him. I mean, they are very tight. So I take him to Irene's and we work all day, and he's happy. And he gets home, and so my sister-in-law said, oh, how was your day at school? And he's wagging his tail, and he's so happy. And after he finished his formal greeting with her, remember, the one he would take a bullet for, he came over and sat by me uh-huh. said, well, she's the one with the hands, so let's...
yeah, right. Well, he knows who to go to, right? You know, he's not dumb, obviously. Very intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
So that's got to make you feel good, though. I think one of the bottom lines through all this therapy is the fact that you truly are helping other people.
Yes, yes. And I'm involved with an apprentice program at Irene's now, which is sort of like an assistant to the teacher. And that means that we get to work with the students. I mean, they work on our bodies and we work on their bodies. And so you continue to learn. And if you don't learn something new every day in whatever you're doing, then go back to bed.
Mm-hmm. Right. But how does that make you feel? I mean, does that really give you, I don't know, a special feeling to make you continue on with your day? I mean, give you purpose? Does that really
Absolutely.
Help you in that
yeah.
respect?
Yeah. We're coming close to the end of this year's class, and I apprenticed last year also, and my students created a paper plate award. I don't know if you know what that is, but it is
No.
exactly what it sounds like. They had this big, mine was the big oval, and it was a trinet plate, so it was sturdy. And they knew me by the end of the year, and they put all kinds of things like good food, hard work, you know, and they had all these things, read the labels, all these things on the plate. And it was very, very, well, I got a little teary, because it's after all these weeks, they heard me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it really summed you up. Huh?
Well, part of the program is not, as I said, it's not just, you know, rub. We do talk about things like nutrition, and we do talk about things like reading labels. And there are releases that have come out from the government recently that have finally fessed up to things we knew for a very long time. Blue 1, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, these are carcinogens, caramel color. These are all carcinogens. And you can't keep putting that in your body. Your body doesn't know what to do with that stuff. Lake, if you ever see red lake 40, that anytime you see lake as part of a coloring, it means there's aluminum in there. Aluminum has been linked to Alzheimer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take the risk. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that. We meditate. And I know on your show you've talked about meditation before and the healing effects of that. And that's the way we start our day.
Well, again, that can be therapeutic, just to clear your mind mm-hmm. and get focused on something else, because mm-hmm. I think that opens a person up to all types of insight as well. Now, when you meditate, does that help you with your massage? I mean, does that give you insight on perhaps what to do with a person, or how does that work?
I can't tell you a specific story like that, but I would think as you exist as a human, I would think that that would be part of. Mm-hmm. Because if you're able to relax and concentrate, I've gone through a lot of job aspects where we were designing a new computer system a long time ago, and you get to the point where you're stuck. You're just stuck. You can't figure out what the next step is supposed to be. And what would inevitably happen to my closest programmer and me, we were in different houses. I want to preempt that. Okay, we're different houses. But you get into the shower, and all of a sudden it's clear. All of a sudden it makes sense. A nice hot shower is a type of meditation, if you think about it, because you are relaxed. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you relax, everything works better. Your brain works better. You're ready to face your day.
Mm-hmm. Same can be with walking as well.
Yes.
You know, just to clear your mind and think your thoughts. And again, just let your thoughts come to you, and you never know what you might come up with.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we want to divert at all, but when you talk about walking, we're talking about walking city blocks, of course. Walking a meditative path, the labyrinth. That's another great way just to make things clear in your head. You're having a problem and you can solve that problem. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did want to mention, just in case anybody would be frightened by it, if you've never had a massage and something just feels completely right and all of a sudden you find yourself in what we call an emotional release. In other words, you've started to cry and you have no idea why. No one has died, nothing bad has happened, but somehow, some way, you get into this state and it's a release. And there are actually chemicals in your tears that are helpful to expel. So having a good cry is actually, that's the right term, is mm-hmm. having a good cry. And sometimes the massage will bring that out. There are times when you're reaching that point based on some sort of history. I saw a student who could not handle any work in the neck and throat area because someone tried to harm that person.
Harm them how?
Strangling.
Okay.
And working those muscles was a way of going back to that time, and there was a huge emotional release. Mm-hmm. Now, probably cleansing, and if happens enough times, you know, it's a way of being able to move on.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody reported seeing any visions, anything like that? You know, perhaps with a situation in their life or just in general, anything like that?
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It has not happened with me. It hasn't happened to me, nor have I witnessed anything quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just in case somebody wants to get a hold of you, how can mm-hmm. they do so?
Email's great. It's Grumach, Grumach, @peoplepc.com. That's an old account.
Okay.
My cell phone always works, and that number is 313-605-4206.
Mm-hmm. Are you more interested at this point working with animals or humans, or does it matter?
It doesn't really matter, but I have to tell you, I really grin with the dogs. Mm-hmm. I did have one where periodically I'll make a donation to an event, and I'll donate a massage or a hand massage or, you know, wax with hand massage, what have you. And I donated a canine massage, and I had this little firecracker of a dog. And I got there, and we waited for him to calm down. He showed me every room in the house. It was a ranch-type house, so he was running and running and running and running in circles. And at some point, he'd run into the back room, the kitchen. He'd come back out again. He jumped on the chair, and then he jumped down again. It took a long time. The owner said, I took him for a walk. She said, I took him for a walk so he would be calm. He was not calm. Eventually, he was calm enough. I had everything set up on the floor. And I'm sitting down there with him, just waiting for him to get ready. And as soon as he did, yep, there he was, just, oh, this is a good thing. And that wild little crazy dog became very calm.
Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, they all pass out after they get a massage?
So do the humans. If it's,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel this great relaxation, it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
With people, you were asking about time earlier. Generally, half an hour is cutting it. You know, you can do a reasonable job. An hour is pretty much industry standard, and then 2 hours is great. If you have the time to do a 2-hour, it's wonderful. With the dogs, and especially with cats, they tell you when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you to start out this way, turn over, or move your arm, or, you know, pull your knee up to your chin, or I'll tell you all kinds of things, and you'll do it. And with the dog, it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. Probability.
Right. Well, it's an animal, so you never know. So I just want to say that with all that, when you do work on animals, is that really rewarding? I mean, is that
absolutely
the fact that you have really helped an animal? I mean, I know you appreciate helping people, but you also help animals as well.
Yes, there was a dog I worked on, Golden. She is a Golden. And the owner said that I was using my table because that's a larger dog, so that puts her at a better height than, like, the little guy on the floor was one thing, but I used my table for the dogs. And it's all sanitized. So so he said, we're going to have to pick her up. Her hips are so bad, she can, you know, she just can't. And so, you know, got one in the front, one in the back, and we put her up on the table, and I started working, and I turned her over on her side, really worked on the hips, and at some point she sort of stirred in such a way that we're done. And it was very short. It was about 10 minutes, and I was surprised because I thought she, usually dogs like that size, like a little longer massage. And so we had our backs to the table, and we were talking about what I did, and how I did it and what to expect and blah, blah, blah. And we heard this little commotion behind us. And guess what? The dog that couldn't move jumped back up on that table, which she knew where the good stuff was. And I continued to work on her. So
it's a miracle.
Well,
Lynn, thank you very much for doing the show. I really appreciate it. Very interesting on how you go about your work and all the great work that you do.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm back, and I just want to thank my special guest for this month, Lynn, and she is a licensed massage therapist. Very interesting, not only working with people, but working with pets as well. And again, it's for the good of that individual.